Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Right. Okay.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm Tim, in the rugby dungeon with JB.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm all right. See, I'm here in the rugby dungeon, and I'm just disappointed that Phil is not here in person. And he's abroad. The rudeness of
Phil. We are just constantly working all the time.
Yeah. To be fair, this is continuing as Phil, point that Phil has made on our WhatsApp group. You are continuing your unblemished record of attendance.
I've got one hell of a streak now. Like an Alan Wynne Jones style streak of podcasting.
You need to turn yourself up a little bit, however. Yeah, see, the problem is, when I come back, I start engineering the thing as well. There you go, whereas you've been doing quite well.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, that's fine.
Right, this is a World Cup podcast then, which, given the weekend's rugby, won't be excessively long, will it?
No, it won't, and it's a shame, really, because I felt this weekend's been a bit disappointing.
I think we anticipated that it would and could be, but yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. We haven't seen Tonga v South Africa. We should probably hedge our bets because that game hasn't started yet. We're recording this at 7:30 p.m. I mean,
and it might be a belt.
Yeah, so let's just do it. Wasn't that an amazing upset by Tonga? Incredible.
Just outrageous.
Or South Africa, another win, as we expected. Yeah. There you go. Delete as appropriate.
I just think that with this World Cup, the worst teams have got better.
Have they?
Yeah, the two which stick in my mind are Romania
and Namibia.
Namibia have not improved.
No.
But we have really benefited enormously from Chile, from Uruguay. Japan look good. I mean, maybe not as good as they did last time.
I think that's fair, but there have been more 80 or more point defeats.
Portugal?
Yeah, Portugal. I love the way they play. As much as anything, having just watched them, I watched Portugal play against Wales in Nice in person, and I just love the way they play. Watching it on the telly, they're just a joy to watch.
Yes.
And their players do not have inherently better skills than English backline players. However, the way they're able to play and execute says to me that it's a coaching issue, not a personnel issue at nations like England, because the way Portugal can play is just beautiful to watch.
And maybe there's a pressure issue involved there. The expectations on England will be far greater than the expectations on Portugal. And the other thing is, Portugal keep losing, which is another not great thing.
Yeah, but they'll be looking at a 34-14 scoreline against Australia and thinking, oh, we really let ourselves down there. We should have scored another couple of tries at least.
Yeah, I only saw a bit of that game, but I do agree with what you say about the Portuguese team. I also agree with the fact that they did need a few more points. But my point on this World Cup would be, although the worst teams have, generally speaking, got better, just the gap now, it's going to be hard to bridge. And it just seems to be that although they put up a better fight, it just wasn't enough to create any real upsets. And that's a shame.
It is a shame. And then there's also the context that one of the teams that are quote-unquote tier one in the Six Nations every year, have been for the last 20 years, have the benefit of all of that cash, all of that opportunity, all of those fixtures against tier one nations every single year. And they got absolutely embarrassingly pasted. pants pulled down.
Not even just embarrassingly pasted.
That's humiliation.
They didn't play well.
Italy were an embarrassment to themselves,
yeah,
and to the competition, and to the Six Nations, and to rugby full stop. But most of all, they'll be disappointed in themselves.
Very true, Tim, very true. Yeah, I agree with every single word of that. Like, for all the advantages that they have, you're telling me that Georgia wouldn't be better, or Japan, or anyone, had they had that opportunity for well over, 20 years now that Italy have been operating at the top table of international rugby.
But there's just no... It wasn't that New Zealand players are better than Italian players. There's no question. And I think the average scoreline in that fixture over the history of the fixture is like a margin of 50 points. But like we say, Italy should be closing that gap. But for them, it just looked like they just gave up. Yeah. It's just the attitude of those players. The tackling, you're right. The attitude of the players was unacceptable.
Yeah, I've got nothing really good to say about that performance. There's nothing good to say about that performance.
Yeah, and I don't like... This is it. This should be a big festival of rugby, and Portugal have put a smile on our face. Uruguay, as you mentioned. Georgia were much more spirited, and that was much more like it against Fiji. Fiji have been a joy to watch. But Tonga have been a disappointment, generally. Again, we haven't seen their performance against South Africa at this point. Samoa have been a disappointment. I was expecting a lot more from them.
Yep.
Japan have generally have gone backwards, but... We saw a bit of something against Samoa,
yep,
from them. Italy, abject.
So
unfortunately, I'm left after this weekend with just a bit of negativity and a bit of disappointment.
Mm,
can you make me feel positive and happy?
Probably not, but...
But I'll tell you what, positive and happy is the fact that I get to go back to France and...
The van? Where have you stashed the van?
It's at Lyon Airport currently.
Ah.
I'll be back there on Wednesday, and then watching the two games in Lyon, then up to Paris for Ireland Scotland. That's my itinerary this weekend.
All right, that should make you feel better.
That
but
does.
Let me just run this past you, Tim.
Yeah, go on.
Imagine that there was a second tier World Cup, which would happen
simultaneously, midweek fixtures.
Yes. So
yes.
We have all of our knockouts, and then we have all. Well, the way we would do it is the knockouts for the two teams that qualified 1 and 2 were on the weekend. But prior to that, on the Friday and the Thursday, or just maybe just the Friday, we had the second round. So the teams that finished 3 and 4.
Yeah. Okay?
So as things would stand, it would be Scotland versus Uruguay next round.
Love that.
Italy versus Tonga.
Okay.
And then, it says Fiji are third here, which they probably are.
No, they're going to be second. It'd be Australia.
Be Australia versus Samoa and Georgia versus Japan. I think that's a pretty tasty tournament.
That would be really good, actually. I do like that a lot. Is there an argument? Because that's exactly what we've... What do you do with the fifth place teams? Because arguably they're the ones that need the games most.
Well, you could say with the fifth place teams that they have their... semi-final,
okay,
on the week
for
of the
a
quarters.
Shield,
yeah, and then the final, the week of the semis, and they go home.
I like that as well. I don't. Yes, I like that. Here's another thought though, because of the gap and the massive margins with the best teams and the poorest teams. Like, surely the argument to expand the competition is off the table for the next World Cup. Let's talk about expanding it to 24 teams.
Okay.
The one advantage is you could have pools of 4 teams, so you would need one fewer round in the pool stages, and you could have a round of 16, potentially.
Yes, I guess so, and you're going to have it. I mean, would I take it off the table? It's going to be difficult, isn't it? Because you're going to end up with more weekends like this, with a lot of games that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be good. So,
no,
yes,
it,
you can
it was
have...
Just purely from a scheduling point of view, having no England, Wales and Ireland and Scotland playing against Romania, from a UK and Ireland audience perspective, which is quite a significant one.
Yeah, absolutely is.
That was a dreadful idea. Because the momentum in the UK has just gone. It's just gone.
Yeah.
It will come back next weekend, but this weekend it's just evaporated. And the fact the Ryder Cup was on doesn't... Or maybe that means it was a good thing. I don't know.
Well, next week, I mean, doesn't have much of an impact because I think France are going to win.
Scotland Ireland, Saturday night.
Scotland Ireland is the only one of notes. In Wales's pool, it will be...
Fiji need a point. Well, yeah, let's summarise where we're at. Yeah. So, Scotland have to win, and preferably with a bonus point. Well, certainly they have to beat Ireland by 8 points or more.
Yep.
To qualify. So that's going to be great. That's the big box office moment. 9 p.m. Saturday.
Looking forward to that.
Well, 8 p.m. UK time. That'll be great. Other than that, what have we got in Pool A? It's wrapped up, done and dusted.
Yeah, pretty much. It's France, Italy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which isn't the real thing?
It's done. It's just positions, who's going to be top, who's going to be second, and France will wrap that up. Fiji need a point against Portugal. And then in Pool D, it's that game's interesting. Japan against Argentina is interesting.
Yeah, because that is actually a knockout game.
That is a knockout game.
That is really interesting. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
When's that game?
I'm not entirely sure.
And that's in Bordeaux, isn't it? So, or Toulouse.
And then England, Samoa, and England do what they want, really, in that.
Round week 5, hold on a second. Pool D, Japan v Argentina is Sunday lunchtime.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a bad weekend of rugby.
Saturday night, good. Sunday lunchtime, good. Yeah. All right. Okay, that's something. It's something.
Oh, is there anything of any note you want to take out of these games? I can't really think of anything.
Love the way Portugal play. Thomas Appleton would be in a handsome 15 along with Charles Olivon.
Yeah, true. Where does he play his rugby?
I don't know, actually. Thomas
with Appleton. Like Eton?
Thomas Appleton, Portuguese rugby player. He plays in the Portuguese league.
There we go.
Hmm.
He sounds English.
Surely Nuno Sousa Guedes is going to get offered a contract in some club somewhere. He's awesome. Love him.
It just surprised me that not more of them aren't playing in France or somewhere. I kind of expect, if I looked at all of their CVs, that they'd be in Pro de Deux or one below that.
Yeah, I think a few of them are. What I'll say is, again, and I don't want to just labour on it's not negative, it's just where we're at. I've given up being bothered or caring very much about the TMO bunker decisions because I'm so disconnected with what a yellow card is, what a red card is, and the decision, and the bunker in itself has just completely removed any of the referees and thereby me as a viewer.
And it's boring.
With the decision-making process, so I'm just not invested, I don't understand it, I don't care. It feels like a magic eight ball is doing the job.
Yeah, it's boring. Isn't it? If that's the main takeaway from these games, it's boring. So, yep, agreed.
What else would I say? Where have I been? God, the last week's been mad. I just want to say the job that France have done with the World Cup and the rugby fans actually going to the Rugby World Cup has been brilliant.
Right.
It has been brilliant.
Hold your horses, Tim Cocker.
It has been brilliant.
Hold your horses.
Yeah, go on.
Bill Beaumont. I don't really have many things to say about Bill Beaumont. I don't really know how good or how bad he does his job. I just don't know. Did you see the tweet that he put out a couple of days ago? Which is, we want this to be... No, us and World Rugby want this to be the most sustainable World Cup in history. In fact, should I just get the tweet up? It'd be easier. Who would I have sent this to?
Well... So they've obviously got loads of advertisers they need to appease.
As a governing body and a sport.
This is during... let me just set the context here. This is during a Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, and there's actually quite...
Hold on. This is during a Rugby World Cup where lots and lots of fans, I can tell you, having been out in France, have faced pretty fundamental issues with getting to grounds, from grounds, into grounds, drinks at grounds.
Yep.
Massive issues. So carry on.
So as a governing body and a sport, are you talking for me now, Bill? Okay, please continue. We are committed to playing our role in tackling the climate crisis. Absolutely do one. We must always innovate in support of a sustainable future. Now, let's just say the climate crisis is exactly as we think it is.
Well, let's not go there.
Let's just assume.
Yeah, okay.
Let's assume, because it's kind of important for Bill's statement.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, fine.
Right. What part of the World Cup is sustainable? Like, which part? I know one of the stadiums is powered by wind turbines. Well done. What is sustainable about flying thousands, hundreds of thousands of fans across the globe to watch a game of rugby.
And I tell you what, because it's so close to the UK, let me tell you, the media people that I hang out with in the media rooms, the majority of them bounce back and forward. I'm not complaining. That's what I've just come back from a few days. I'm going back to France in a few days. Like, I'm not complaining at all. That's great.
The stupidity of that. And do you know what? Nobody will question him on that. This is the guy who runs World Rugby.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So next time he's up for interview, and he's tweeted about it, so he obviously wants to talk about it, right? So next time he's been interviewed, shall we ask him, Bill, tell me, what is the carbon footprint of the Rugby World Cup as it stands? Do you know what his answer will be? I don't know. Okay, Bill, what would you like it to be? I don't know. Bill, tell me, how many parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere should we be aiming for? I don't know. Right, it's not serious. It's not serious. But if it is serious, the end goal here is you cannot have fans in stadiums. That is not sustainable. If you believe in this nonsense, it is not sustainable. Is it? How can it be?
It's a little bit like, to sort of bridge the gap, it's a little bit like I just mentioned the TMO bunker frustrations. It's a bit like they've got into a position where they're like, we have to be seen to be doing something. And actually, the experience of the fan and how it actually happens in reality and the impact it has on games and on players' careers and on teams and on the product overall doesn't really matter. What's most important is how we can be perceived.
Well,
and that's the only metric that really matters.
The problem is with being perceived, right, is rugby trips over itself to be perceived as something. And some of the net results are absolutely horrendous. That tweet tells me he's more interested in that, in the institution of climate change, than he is in the institution of rugby.
No, you're a financial advisor, so you understand what's going on here. He's only appeasing the people that they've got their bowl out getting money from advertisers. Yeah,
and
that's all that's going on here.
Those exact values which he's appealing to are the antithesis to so many of the fans that are watching. So if he's worried about that, he's not worried about his core product. And his core product is making rugby as attractive as possible. It's the same with the concussion issue. If you're worried about that, you're not worried about making rugby as attractive as a proposition as possible. If you're worried about appeasing the LGBT alphabet police, right, you end up with things like Gareth Thomas on your screens. And that is appeasing some people, but it's not worried about the core product of rugby. And this just goes on and on and on and on. And you wonder, why are people not engaged in this game? Well, if the higher-ups are more interested in appeasing like these third-party pressure groups and taking on the corporate ideologies and the trendy ideologies, why would I care? I can get that nonsense from almost anything, right? Almost any institution which is around now, I can get climate change nonsense from anywhere. But I want my rugby, and I don't want the heads of rugby talking about things which are completely useless. And one of the things which has come up from this, I think this is why he's responded to it, is David Pocock, the genius that is, he likes to chain himself to trees and whatnot, has said that rugby should now boycott fossil fuel sponsorship. Right. So this is one of the reasons why we're talking about next World Cup is going to be super sustainable. Like, how stupid is David Pocock? Does he know what happens if we didn't have fossil fuel? I just know the death and destruction. But yeah, these are the things that we have. These are the things that we have to do. These are the way that we have to be.
I quite saved. Like, just for example, I quite like refrigerating my food.
Yes, I mean, I'm big into it.
I quite like it. Yeah. Also, we're just moving towards autumn, winter. I quite enjoy being warm.
Oh, it's one of my favourite things. And do you know what? The people that we told not to fly, it wouldn't be Bill Beaumont. It wouldn't be the England team. It'll be people like you and I. That's who it'll be.
Yeah, but this is coming. This is quite a negative week. But part of that is just the scheduling, which could have been solved. And the Rugby World Cup, there's been some amazing moments. And so I just want to emphasise the watching Portugal was an absolute joy. Even I have to say, I quite enjoyed Scotland Romania, partly because at least when I was watching Scotland rack up the points, it felt like it was actually quite fun watching it because points difference could really matter for Scotland. Yep. So it was like, oh, wow, they've got another, they're closing down the... And Romania's attitude, unlike Italy's, was to just keep having a crack. And I'm looking at a Rugby Romania jersey on the wall of a Rugby Dungeon. And they were great. By the way, I met the guy who gave you the Treviso jersey, which...
The guy who posted it in.
Yeah, which started from... Works at World Rugby.
Yes, he does.
Started the Dean Budd obsession.
Yes, he did.
Nice guy.
We have missed a game, which was good.
Yeah, go on.
Fiji Georgia
was that was fantastic. Really, and again, talk about a team that, I mean, Georgia will probably reflect on the fact that they didn't show up in the first couple of rounds, but that was a great game with them and Portugal. And I mean, Georgia will probably be frustrated they didn't turn Fiji over.
Yeah, they're in an unlucky group as well because they are outclassed by the Welsh and the Australians, potentially. I mean, they could turn over either team, I suspect, on their day if they catch everything right. But they finally showed a bit of quality against Fiji. And I think Fiji are finding out what it's like to be a top team now. They're going to be targeted.
Yeah, and being underdogs kind of suits them, doesn't it? Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. But on the strength of what I saw against Georgia, I'm like, if Fiji don't turn up in any way, shape, or form, they just won't be getting past the quarter final.
And who have they got?
England or Portugal in their last round. They've got to get 1 point, and then England.
Well, it's not like they've not beaten England before recently.
Yeah, I'll be at that game in Marseille.
On, Fiji!
See, that's where I've got to be for that. But that's the games in Paris are going to be unreal.
I might fly out to a Paris game. I might fly out to one of them. Just to be in the city rather than anything else.
Yeah. It was wild. Oh, particularly, Ireland. So you've got Irish fans there. The French local fans will be there. New Zealand. And by the way, you really get a sense of... Oh, and the other one is South Africa, obviously. And the South African fans are brilliant as well. You get such a sense of... the power of the All Black brand when I was in France, because I was going round the ground after the game trying to find some Kiwis. There was All Black jerseys everywhere, and I spoke to so many different nationalities of people who were fans of the All Blacks, had the jersey. Got guys from Switzerland in All Black jerseys that support the All Blacks, they'd come to watch the game. It sort of breaks down actual borders and barriers. They are just, it's just an incredible brand.
So I will say this about the All Blacks, growing up at least. They didn't tend to tour that much. So I don't know what the statistics are, but I certainly seem to remember when I first got into rugby, a sighting of the All Blacks was rare. So the first time I properly watched them was just before England won the World Cup, and England battered them, I think, in New Zealand, was it? The two tests series?
You saw that game down there?
No, as in like the first time, like when really conscious of rugby, the first time I'd be turning on to watch it, that would be like the first game. But because they didn't come up, they really had this mystique. And it's slowly eroding the more that we see them. So I don't know what the answer is, really, because you don't want them to play less. But they've definitely got that sort of
thing
very special about them, aura. You don't want to be exposed to them too much.
Well, even to the point where, so I went to watch their captain's run on Friday. Well, no, the game was on Friday, so on Thursday. And I felt like a 10-year-old kid. Well, I was just stood at the side of the pitch and I was watching Damian McKenzie and Bowden Barrett do their kicking.
Yeah, I've done this in
And I was just, I couldn't do it. I just giggled. I was like, I could, because, and I've been there for the same thing for other countries, but standing looking at Beauden Barrett and D-Mac doing it, I don't know. There's just something about it. It just felt different and special.
Yeah,
it would be the same if I go to a captain's run for France and DuPont's there. And that's another great positive story, by the way, just quickly. DuPont is training again. He's going to be back.
That is a good story. Well, yeah, just on New Zealand thing, I saw their captain's run for the USA game in person.
In Chicago.
And same thing. It was Ben Smith and it was Izzy D.
Ben Smith.
And they were just kicking to each other. And the thing which amazed me, this is back when I used to respect the Hakka, is they start the training session with the Hakka. And that was the thing. Did they start the training session with the Hakka when you were there?
No, it was all behind closed doors the first bit. We only got a 15-minute window. They'd already been on the pitch for a while.
So like they couldn't really control anyone in Chicago. They didn't expect anyone to be there, and they were kind of right, no one was there. And we were on the pitch, the actual pitch for USA who were training. And then as soon as the next guys came on, the next set of press staff and whatnot, like the All Blacks. So yeah, the contrast was amazing. So the USA staff were really friendly and were happy that we're here. And the All Blacks staff were like, you media? Yeah. You got to go. So we just went in the lifts and watched from the stands. Like, you can't chase us out of, Bear Stadium. It's bloody massive. So it was cool though. And they came out and the first thing they did was the Hakka. I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because where else would they practice it? I mean, a modern dance studio or something.
I
don't know, yeah.
I like the thought they have a choreographer.
They must do, mustn't they, somewhere?
Like in leg warmers in a big mirror dance studio.
Let's go, boys.
Yeah.
No, that, because as we like to call it now, the culturally significant commercial dance.
I loved it. Well, bearing in mind that I'd never seen the Hakka in person at a live game. In fact, that was the first Hakka I've seen in person.
And what do you think? Was it?
Loved it. But that's the first Hakka I saw the other night. I just realised, because I saw the New Zealand Maori, or was it in like a New Zealand 15 when they played New Zealand v the Barbarians last year. So I saw it then. But this was the actual proper New Zealand team in a full test. Because we went all the way to Rome to see Italy v New Zealand. And you guys, you and Phil, wanted to have lunch.
I would rather have lunch.
And a bottle of red wine. And I missed the Hakka.
The Hakka isn't the problem. The culturally significant commercial dance.
I love it. Right, I love it.
Is not the problem for me.
I love it.
I can get on board with the culturally significant commercial dance. It is the cringeworthy, quote-unquote, respect that it has to be shown.
Oh, no. What I loved about being in that ground, and I've got no problem with people booing kickers, being silent for kickers, or cheering, singing La Marseillaise when the Hakka's going. I've got no problem with it. But you could have heard a pin drop.
But that's,
I loved it.
But that's great, because that's genuine, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a genuine thing. I love that. But they should be doing the Hakka in South Africa amongst boos. They should be doing it in Australia and they should be shouted down. But they should still do it. What I don't like is they do it and then we give them the folded jerseys, like a bit of a patronising thank you. And the respect has to be enforced and mandated. I have no time for that, to the point that I don't even want to see it now.
Oh yeah, as long as fans are allowed to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Teams are allowed to do what they want to do in response. I totally agree with you.
And if they respect it, which is up to them if they do. I'm not even sure there is an obligation to respect it.
Yeah, and I'd suggest it would probably be a bad move not to respect it in terms of...
Exactly!
I think you'd rattle a cage. I think Ardy Savia might have even more motivation to go and have a
stormer. Excuse me, we're doing our culturally significant commercial dance. We'll show you. So, and now they've got the carpet beater out. I don't know what that is. What is that carpet beater? I mean, it's not, if it's a weapon, it doesn't look particularly sinister.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it all. And DuPont's back, which is awesome. So, he's back in training.
Yeah, something which is good this year is there's been hardly any novelty Hakkas. So every year there's a novelty Hakka, isn't there?
How do you mean?
Well, do you remember the Yorkshire Hakka?
By
the fans, yep.
Oh,
remember when...
I've erased that from my memory. I can't believe you brought that back up.
It's so cringeworthy. Nothing more cringeworthy than non-New Zealand fans doing the Hakka in a pub. There was the Matt Dawson Hakka.
What?
Do you not remember the Matt Dawson Hakka? He did it on like an advert and he's accused of cultural appropriation before it was cool. that went down. There's all sorts of... So that's a massive improvement. In fact, I'm well on the woke side there. If I can accuse people of cultural appropriation to make them stop it, then I'm all for that. So well done.
What else happened this weekend?
Well, actually, just on that, well, New Zealand happened. And we've not really seen New Zealand, have we, get out of first gear? Because they got battered against France, and they've sort of gone through the motions since.
Well, they had a week off immediately afterwards, didn't they?
Yeah. They've kind of gone through the motions since, and it does look like they're gearing up for a real challenge in the semi-final. So I kind of...
Quarter-final, sorry. It's likely to be New Zealand-Ireland.
Yeah. They're going to be much better than I think, or than I thought.
Yeah. It is a catch-22 with New Zealand, because if they do badly, Ian Foster gets the blame. If they do well, then it's the other coaches that get all the credit.
Exactly. Poor old Fozzie.
Poor old Fozzie. Yeah, they put... Week one, they lost to France. Then they put Namibia away, and everyone was like, well, it's just Namibia. Then they had a week off. But now, after 96-17 against Italy...
Embarrassing.
What was most embarrassing was Monte Ioane and the way he celebrated scoring their second try. It's like, no. You're now 96-17, not 96.
The embarrassing part is the quality of the Italian side. Like, it's not a bad side.
Yeah. Got the little Pixie Ange Capuazzo.
Yeah.
Michele Lamaro, Seb Negri, Cannoni, number 8. Yeah, it was just an embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, the little Pixie fella didn't even get on the ball. And you need him running free if they're going to do anything. World Rugby released a video of the Italians were in town and they were all singing. It's like, well, I wouldn't release that if you lost. I'd bury that content.
I was at Uruguay Namibia. That was a really fantastic just occasion.
Yes.
And what I love about that is the access that you got afterwards.
Yeah.
Because you have this, they have the game, then they have the press conference, and then they have this thing called the mix zone, where basically the people that are official broadcasters get first dibs, and then the players just walk down and you grab who you want. Quite often, there's like 4 or 5 people gathered around one person and you're all trying to get your own little bit. Anyway, Uruguay and Namibia, they were just, there was only about half a dozen of us down there. So it was just, rather than recording anything, I just ended up having a chat with Ryan Hardwick for about 20 minutes about Super Rugby and how, you know.
Did you, I'm thinking of Chile. I was going to say, did you get hold of Martin Sigrin?
No, well, I haven't been to a Chile game.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that game this weekend, Argentina-Chile. It's one of the only games I've not seen.
Yeah, they got absolutely smoked. Yeah. Absolutely smoked. Although, there's enough teams in Chile now to have at least every 4 years, America's tournament of some sort.
Yeah. South America's where it's at. One of the areas like... Yeah, definitely.
No CVC corruption. Just rugby to be played.
Oh, well, on that, we do have... let's knock this on the head. We'll have another chat with Phil on the Rugby World Cup in a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you've got anything you want to talk about in relation to, again, the sort of inconsistency of the TMO referral bunker system, the disappointment of some nations, how you think the quarterfinals are going to play out, and what one thing I've got to work out is what I do for... Anyway, that's another conversation. What I do for the quarterfinals... How and where I watch the late games, because the Marseille matches are on in the evening.
Yeah,
and then I've got to get somewhere. I've got to get across town to where the action's at in Marseille to watch
tough,
the games.
Isn't it?
I know. It's tough. We've had a friend of the pod. I won't mention it yet until I won't count my chickens till the hatch. But I got an email saying someone offering somewhere to stay in Marseille.
Oh, wonderful!
One of our amazing listeners. So we never take. You for granted. Thank you for listening. Contact headchasers@gmail.com is where you can catch us on email. JB's lurking around on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
No, not really.
No, I've lost the login to our Egg Chasers Twitter, so I don't have any access. I've not been on it for weeks, maybe a month.
I don't know what it is either.
I am, however, on Instagram. But if you're looking for rugby content, you're not going to find it. You get lifting content, you get some tight shorts, but that's what you're going to get.
You wear like Lycra shorts, don't you?
Damn right.
That's outrageous, mate.
Well, look, if you see the getup that women are allowed to wear, why can't I look glorious in the gym? Why can't I?
They have certain.
Why can't I just display my wares?
You have certain lumps and bumps that they don't.
Damn right, I do. Reason. That's right, Tim Cocker. That's right.
Your follow's just going through the roof now. Right. Yes, we'll see you on the next one. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.